Good afternoon. Today I am using a brand new microphone which is supposed to be Windows Vista compatible, which means that the volume will be just fine and I won't have to use special tools to raise the volume and then distort the voice. I'm really pleased with this. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about, well, more than thinking, I've been putting into practice those periods that Joel suggested of just being quiet, just being receptive, just listening. So that the spirit within can flow. That is, I have been turning within in meditation several times a day with no ulterior motive. Nothing to heal, no one to heal, nothing to demonstrate, not even to bring about world peace or better world conditions. No reason at all, save one, just to commune and to feel that presence. And the reason I am doing this is because I feel certain if we will have several periods of meditation a day in which we maintain a listening attitude, an attitude of listening, then I will be developing the consciousness of a listener, the consciousness of receptivity, the consciousness of being a beholder, a witness. That's the consciousness that recognizes of myself I am nothing. It is the Father, this presence, that doeth the works. And what works is that? Not the works that the mind thinks of. The mind, the human mind, believes that it is somehow separate from that Father within, and must find a way to contact that Father so that the Father can flow through and heal problems appearing in the body. So that that Father, that presence can flow through and shore up the finances. So that that presence can flow through and soften someone's heart and repair broken relationships. That's not the work of the Father. That's a misconception. That is a world belief. That's a world thought. And that misperception is what fosters the feeling of separation from that presence. So what is the work of the Father? I work and my Father work hitherto, says Christ. What is the work of the Father? The Father within, he doeth the works. What work? Have you ever stopped to ponder that? What work does this Father within, this presence, do? Oh, Joel told us thousands of times that you cannot add God to your humanhood. You cannot pull God into the human scene. There is no God in the human scene, which is a significant statement, according to Joel, in the Wisdoms of the Infinite Way. Then I must be wrong if I'm believing that God is going to do something out here for me if I contact God. That's a misperception. Well, what is the work of God? We are told that God's work is done. Well, God's work is done, but the Father within doeth the works. I don't understand. That's the human mind, because the ways of God are past finding out. No, the human mind can't understand. The gift of God was given at the foundation of the world, or before the foundation of the world. God saw all that God had made, and He rested, because the work was finished. Then what did the Master mean? The Father within, He doeth the works. There must be something we're missing, something we're not catching. John knew what that something was because he told us, because he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace. Perhaps the reason why we are not understanding is our misinterpretation of something else. And that is, the Word made flesh, or God made flesh. If you think that the Word is made flesh, the flesh that you see as you look out here, the flesh that you see as this world, the material world, if you see the Word made flesh as matter, you are mistaken. That which you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is itself a misunderstanding. It's a misinterpretation. Something else is right here in your midst. Something that the senses cannot reveal to you. Something that the sense mind misunderstands and reinterprets as a material creation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in our midst. We hear that expression in another place when we are told, I in the midst of thee am mighty. So this I in the midst of us, this I in the midst of me, it's invisible, isn't it? If you've ever sat down in your meditation and for a moment reached that place of stillness where you felt an inner movement, a quickening of my spirit, of a presence, a transcendental presence, you know that's not just an expression or a scripture. It's a living presence in your midst. You also know it's invisible, that you cannot see, hear, taste, touch, or smell it. Yet you can and have had awareness of it. This it in your midst, you have felt with another faculty, that which we call a soul faculty. You've actually felt it. You've perceived it. You've sensed it. You've sensed it in your midst. I know you have. That presence, although invisible, is the Word made flesh. That is the flesh John's referring to when he says, "Why, I saw the Word made flesh, and it dwelt among us. I felt it." So, with that as your basis, now you look and you read, "In the beginning was the Word," that is, God. "And God became flesh and dwells among us." The mystery of godliness is the fact that the tabernacle of God is with men. That presence is in your midst. And now, you must know, the work of God is to maintain and sustain that presence for eternity. You must know that presence is immortal, and it is the Word of God manifest as that presence in your midst eternally. That's the work that the Father is about. For that presence is the Father, and the Father is that presence. I, that presence in your midst, and the Father are one and the same. We are one, and I in your midst am that one. Yes, I work, and the Father work hitherto. I live, and the Father live hitherto. I am present, and the Father is present hitherto, for I and the Father are one presence. What does that mean for you when you go into meditation? What is the purpose then? Since we know now that the purpose is not to get that presence to manifest out here into these mental images, in the first place, you must understand, just because you've lived so many years, that everything appearing to the senses winds down. We've talked about that plenty of times in the past. Even the earth will wind down someday, the sun. The sun will go nova and cease to exist. Everything will wind down. The house you're living in will be crumbled to nothing. Even the United States will break apart and fall down someday. You know that. You suspect it. Look at the Roman Empire. Look at the United Kingdom. Look at Napoleon's empire. They all fall, and so the United States will fall too, which may be what we're witnessing the beginnings of. Who knows? How about your body? Well, I've lived long enough where I've buried a few people who died of natural causes, old age. They wind down, don't they? Everything the senses show you. Do you know why? Do you know why it all dissolves? You suspect. Because the invisible presence in your midst is not in and can never enter these mental images. All right, but now we have a man named Joel Goldsmith, and he tells us, if we will practice the principles of spiritual healing, we will demonstrate harmony. Doesn't that sound like practicing principles to change the outer picture? Even he says, the peace within produces the harmony without. Isn't that making the presence manifest as matter, as something in this world? Now my question to you is, how long have you been believing that? And what are your results? If you've been believing that for quite some time and somehow been unable to demonstrate these principles, I submit to you that that is a misunderstanding of the principles, that that is not what spiritual healing is. Well, what is spiritual healing? What is this work we are supposed to do in meditation? Let's look at what we've been told. Let's go to the authorities. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, be still and know that I, in the midst of thee, am God. The first one is telling us to stand still and be a witness of the invisible presence. The second one is telling us, be still and with another faculty perceive, I in the midst of thee am God. In a moment ye think not, I am come. This is telling us that the mind will always misperceive. You don't need your mentality to meditate. Leave it outside. Take no thought, but rest here, and I, in the midst of thee, will come and flow into and through your being, and really as your being. Now, none of these yet have told us to channel God into our human affairs. All of them have been pointing us to an inner awareness. So something has to take place in our meditation that brings with it awareness, perception, sensing, or feeling. Why, then, does that appear as harmony out here if it doesn't ever enter out here? And now here's the reason. God completed its work on the seventh day. God rested from all that he had made. It is a completed, finished kingdom. You and I are standing in that kingdom. We are standing in it. It enfolds us. It is infinite, and we are in the center of it. But we do not see it. We see through a glass darkly of misunderstandings in the mind. In our meditation, when we follow the directions and stand still, the mind is still. The misinterpretations, the misunderstandings, the glass darkly is quiet. It's just quiet for just a little while. And we catch a glimpse of this kingdom with our soul faculty, with our spiritual discernment, which operates when the mortal mind is still. We catch a glimpse of the kingdom that God made, of the finished kingdom. We catch a glimpse of what we live and move and have our being in. It's an actual awareness which comes. That awareness, when we open our eyes, appears to that same mind as improved world. It appears as better pictures. It appears as if part of this glass darkly has dissolved. We are seeing just a little bit more of reality. Oh, it's still pretty dark, yet this harmony is bleeding through. Some of the light is coming through. We call that better conditions. More appearing of harmony. We call it healing. But it's not. It's not healing. That's just a term, another misunderstanding of the mind. The mind always wants to suggest to you that God can enter the human scene. God cannot enter the human scene, ever at any time. And so, there's no such thing as spiritual healing. Really, in your meditation, as you become still, there is a spiritual revealing, which the mind interprets as healing. Do you see that? Now, it becomes necessary to know what you must do in your meditation to have this awareness. Better way to put that would be, it becomes necessary to understand in your meditation how you allow this awareness to happen to you. Meditation is not something you make, you do, you think. Meditation is something that happens to you. Your part is to be still and then know. In other words, be still and awareness happens. Stand still and see or perceive. Stand still and awareness happens. In a moment ye think not, I is upon you. When not using the mortal mind, awareness is upon you. Now I'm going to read from The Art of Spiritual Healing because nowhere in all the literature, and I've searched, have I seen a better explanation of that inner experience of becoming still and awareness happening. But you must know now, you must know clearly, meditation is for the purpose of so resting back out of that mortal mind that awareness will come unto you. All right? You must know also by now that when you first sit down to meditate, if you have a boiler factory inside or Grand Central Station head, the purpose for rehearsing and looking at statements of truth or scriptural statements within is really only to quiet that mind enough where you can take the next step and actually stand still. That's the only purpose for it. There's no power in any scriptures that you think. There's no power in any thought about scriptures. Because why? Because that I in the midst of thee is not in those thoughts. Those thoughts are only a preparation so that you may be still enough to have the awareness come upon you of that presence. That's the whole purpose. Because the awareness of that I in your midst, the awareness, the glimpse of reality, the glimpse of the kingdom in which you are standing, the actual awareness of it, that is where the power is. All power is in your consciousness. Now you understand what that means. It means these thoughts about truth are not power. But when you step out of them, when you float back, when you rest, when you rise, then you find yourself in consciousness. That place, which is above the mind, where I am. And I, the Father Consciousness, I am that awareness that comes upon you. I am the power. So, understanding this, the question is, how do I reach that level of awareness in which that power, that I in the midst, can bring that awareness? Here in the Art of Spiritual Healing, he made this as plain as you will ever see it. So listen, when you really begin to comprehend that in healing, you are not dealing with people as people, when you learn to eliminate them and their specific claims from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, the carnal mind, a nothingness, the arm of flesh, a nothingness, you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. The barrier is the belief in two powers. The barrier is the belief in something apart from God. Now, do you understand this? I'm pretty sure you do, but let me see if I can clarify it. When you sit down to meditate and you have the problem in your lap like a hot potato, the reason you're rehearsing to yourself that this is carnal mind, nothingness, arm of flesh, nothingness, world mind, nothingness, mental concepts, nothingness, images, nothingness, hypnotism, nothingness, temptation, nothingness, mesmerism, nothingness, appearances, nothingness. The reason you're doing that is not to treat the problem. It's not that by thinking those thoughts, this is nothingness, carnal mind, nothingness, that that's going to be power. No, you're not throwing those statements at the problem and hoping one of them will catch. There's only one purpose, remember this, one purpose, one, that you're knowing those statements in the mind. You are trying to assist that mind to calm down. Because when you do that, he says, you will find out how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. What is the barrier to awareness? He just gave it to you. What is the barrier to your awareness? We already said the purpose of meditation is to stand still until that awareness comes. What is the barrier to that awareness? The belief in two powers. The belief in something separate. You're wrestling with a problem, with this hot potato. Even you're throwing statements of truth at it. All of that comes under the heading of a barrier to awareness. The barrier must be removed. That's the only purpose you have for knowing these truths with the mind. That this is an arm of flesh, carnal mind, mental images, concepts, nothingness. That should only take up, 1 minute of your meditation. That's not where the power is. That's not where the presence is. It certainly isn't awareness, is it? So do that as little as possible. But you may still need to do that in order to calm yourself to the point where you can remember, oh, that's right, I am to stand still and receive. That's right, it's not the truth I think, it's the truth I receive. That's right, it's not the statement I'm thinking on, it's the awareness that flows to me as I rise out of this. Oh, that's right, all right, let me be still, Father, speak, Father, flow, Father, thy awareness. And then you're still. You're standing still. You see, that's the only reason. The day will come when you don't need these statements anymore. You won't even think of them. The day will come when maybe it'll all be replaced with one word. It might just be someone brings a problem to you, and you simply realize nothingness and close your eyes, and you're receptive, just like that. But you have to start somewhere, and so you start with remembering that this is carnal mind, nothingness, arm of flesh, nothingness, mental images, nothingness. But the power, the awareness is not in that thinking. Understand, the purpose for meditation is that you may have the awareness, that the awareness will happen to you. So all this thinking in the beginning is absolutely no power because there's no awareness. See, the thinking comes from the mind, the mortal mind. And so you're tricking it. You're using the mortal mind to quiet the mortal mind down, aren't you? You're using the mortal mind to keep the mortal mind active so that you can step right out of it and reach that point of stillness. Then in the stillness, consciousness takes over. Consciousness is where awareness is. So now let's see, let's read right through this so you can see how he says it. The minute you have made the carnal mind a nothingness, the arm of flesh, you no longer have two powers. In other words, you are standing still. There's a calm inside. There's an expectation, a waiting upon the Lord. And he says you can do just what it says in Scripture. Rest in His Word. You can rest in this Word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. Yes, when you are free from seeing a person or a condition or a problem, when you are calm because you remind yourself these are all just mental images, I'm not going to fight, I'm quiet, I'm dropping them. When you are calm, then you are resting. You are waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. In other words, you're waiting for that awareness to rise up out of consciousness. And when that awareness comes, it dissolves the hypnotism. He says, for years after I had learned to recognize that all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, depression, or whatnot are mesmeric sense or hypnotism, the puzzle was to discover how to break the hypnotism. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe for years you've been knowing in the mind, oh, this is nothingness, this is carnal mind, this is hypnotism, this is nothingness. And nothing's happened. No change has taken place. Why? Because your knowing has been in the mind. The very mind that's causing these mental images. So knowing with that mind is not going to break it, is it? It's not going to dissolve itself. You must reach this other level of consciousness where awareness can steal upon you. And that's just how it feels. But again, let's continue with what he says. For years, the puzzle was to discover how to break the hypnotism. It was then that I discovered that scriptural passage which you will find throughout all my writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. By the time I had spent some months puzzling on its obscure meaning, the answer began to be apparent. The weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is not physical or mental. It is no action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. In other words, he took that statement, the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and he pondered it. What does it mean? What does it mean? And one day the awareness behind that statement came to him. Oh, I see. Now I understand. In other words, what breaks the hypnotism is when I stand still and wait, and the awareness comes. Yes, it had been said before, stand still and see the salvation. Stand still and perceive the kingdom in your midst, and the fact that you're standing in the kingdom. But some reason, when he contemplated and pondered this statement, he saw it from another direction. You see that? The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. In other words, the mountain means consciousness. The stone is the awareness that you need. Because when the awareness comes, it dissolves the mental image. It breaks the hypnotism. It reveals the truth. So the weapon is something that is not done with your body nor with the mind. Both of those must be set aside in meditation. You must reach a place of stillness, no action, no words, and no thoughts. Only the awareness of God. And now he tells you how you can know if you've had it. As you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, see there it is right there, the mountain is consciousness, the stone is awareness. As you carry this out in practice, in your meditation, standing still, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, eventually a state of peace will come. It will descend upon you. Then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. You will understand that no power does anything, and you will become a beholder as reality begins to appear. Alright, another way to say this would be, the purpose for meditation is that you might sit down, say a statement or two that reminds you that you are to do nothing but rest, and actually set that mind down. Set it down. Let it be still. And in the stillness, the Spirit will descend upon you. Consciousness, out of consciousness, will bubble up the awareness. You will catch a glimpse of God as is. Reality will begin to appear. Awareness will flow into, well, your awareness. And then he tells us the principle behind this. Inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance and activity of hypnotism, he just told us there in a tricky way, the human mind is the world mind. Inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance and activity of the world mind, when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. And so if you can reach that state of stillness, hypnotism stops. Awareness steals upon you. I come as a thief in the night. That's exactly the feeling. It just steals upon you. Awareness. Awareness of what? Awareness of God as is. Awareness of the finished kingdom. He says, when you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. Now that's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. Beautiful. I've never seen it anywhere better in any of the writings in 36 years of looking at them. And in my book, it's all marked up and underlined and writing in the margin and starred and circled, and because I studied this as if my life depended on it in order to ferret out these answers that I could sink my teeth into, that I could actually say, oh, I see. Now, for those of you who have gone beyond that state where you have to start out by arguing in order to quiet the mind, then you're going to understand that there's a next step. There's a higher state of consciousness after you have gone through the other, because there's, please understand, please will you, please, I can't beg you enough to understand, knowing all of this that we're talking about in your mind, being able to pass a test on it is absolutely useless. It's absolutely useless. You can understand this well enough to be credentialed, if there was such a thing, by passing a perfect test, and still die from disease, and still die in an accident, and still lose your fortune, and die penniless. You can still find yourself totally alone and miserable. Because why? Who's knowing it? Who's knowing this? The mortal mind, the human mind, they're one and the same. But the point I'm making is that you can't go around this mountain. You have to go up over this mountain. You have to take these principles and work with them. Find your way. It won't be the same as mine or Joel's. Find your way of quieting that mind to the point where you can step out of it for a moment. It only takes 2 seconds for awareness to happen. Awareness is almost instantaneous, whereas thinking takes all these minutes and hours to do. But awareness comes upon you, like right now. So you don't have to be out of it for an hour or two or three. It's not like that. You only have to step out of it for a second or two. So find your way that works for you repeatedly. I don't mean memorize a statement you can say. It's not what I mean. I mean find your way. Well, today this works, and tomorrow that works, and the next day that works. But always I'm able to find something to remind me to be still. And now I know what the goal is in meditation. The goal is the awareness. That's our offense and defense. God's work is finished. In our meditation, we step out of the false identity, the false mind, and we catch a glimpse. We have an awareness of the finished kingdom. And after we've been doing this for a while, we can almost do it at will. Not quite, but almost. That's why I say you have to practice this. You can't go around this mountain. You must go over it. Now, when you find that you're able to do this almost at will, that is, find your center, be still, and catch a glimpse, an awareness, well, then you've become a practitioner. That is, someone that's practicing these principles that we call spiritual healing principles, but they're really spiritual revealing principles. At that point, as someone that is practicing, someone that's a practitioner, you will come to know this paragraph here, which is so beautiful. It's in a book called Consciousness Unfolding, and the chapter is called Peace. And it says this, and for those of you that are at the stage where you're still discovering how you may become still, realize that this is ahead of you. And for those of you that are here now, will join me in this next step. Peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace, the peace of Christ. More healings have been brought about through absolute silence than through all the arguments metaphysicians have thought up in the whole history of the world. When you are called upon for help, sit down and get at peace. Think no thoughts. Just sit and wait. Wait. Be patient and wait for the peace of the Christ to descend upon you. In that moment of peace, without a word, you will witness healing. I find that people become confused because they read, as we did today, two different books, and they seem to be contradictory. But they're not. You must understand that Joel spoke to different groups. He made talks to beginners, those that were just finding the infinite way. But he also made talks to closed classes of practitioners, those who had been walking the way for quite some time. And today we started with the Art of Spiritual Healing, which explains so beautifully the process for those of us who are finding our way to settle down, finding our way to stand still and see the salvation, the awareness come upon us. And we finished with a more advanced work for those of us who are finding that we can close our eyes and become still pretty quick and wait for the descent of the Spirit. At that point, sometimes it only takes you a moment or two, and you feel the movement of the Presence. You have that momentary glimpse of God as is, or the awareness comes upon you of the finished kingdom. At that point, you are a practitioner. You are able to move into this higher state of consciousness pretty easily, almost at will. And so if you are there, and you know you're there consciously, you probably should hang out your shingle and begin to do some work. Or if nothing else, help people up to that level. Let them ask you questions about how you got there. Okay. Please, again, understand you cannot pull God into the human scene. That's not what meditation is for. It's not to fix or heal or change any condition out here. The purpose for meditation is that you may drop these mental images occurring in the human mind. In fact, that you may step out of that mind momentarily and catch an awareness of that which is. You remember in the Wisdom, Joel said it so beautifully. Is alone overcomes the world. Do we understand? Does this help clarify what the Master meant when he said, the Father within, he doeth the works? Do you understand how he is maintaining and sustaining that invisible Word made flesh? But you're not seeing it. You're seeing a mental concept. And so rather than trying to get God to fix a concept, you're turning within, you're dropping the concept, you're becoming still, so that you may have the awareness come upon you of that which is, of the finished kingdom, so that you may know that God's work is finished, and you too may rest with your Father consciousness. All right, let's do this. more of us should be coming into this awareness. It should be transforming us. God bless. Love you. And thank you, of course.